We continue today our Lenten homily series called Crossroads, where we are looking at the crossroads of our lives and how the season of Lent tells us to take the road to the cross. Last Sunday, we asked the question, what roads are we traveling down right now? And are they leading us towards the cross or away from it? As Jesus was tempted by the devil in the desert, how are we being tempted to bypass the cross? Today we're going to take a little deeper look at the role of the cross in our lives as Christians. The cross, as an instrument of death in the time of Jesus, was the ultimate scandal. It was reserved for criminals because it was the most dehumanizing way possible to die. Fear of crucifixion had been weaponized by the Romans to keep the people in line, to keep them submissive to their authority. The road to the cross in the ancient world was a most awful road, one of pain, one of suffering, and also one of shame. In the verse right before the gospel we just heard, Jesus tells his disciples the following. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I wonder what the people listening to Jesus must have thought. The cross was something that they had no desire to pick up. So I'm sure they wondered what Jesus must have meant. Then we have the scene of the transfiguration that we heard this morning, when Jesus takes Peter and James and John up the mountain, and they see his glory. His humanity, in a way we could say, is sort of peeled away, and they see the glory of God. And this transfiguration of Jesus was meant to strengthen these apostles against the scandal of the cross. Notice they want to build tents there. They want to stay. They want to stay in the glory of that moment, because it was easier than having to go down the mountain to face the difficulties that were to come. As we stand at the crossroads of life, we realize that there will be difficulties to come. We say that we will walk the road to the cross, but we all know we would much rather put up tents and stay in the good times. But we also know that that's not possible. The cross of Jesus continues to be a scandal. It continues to be a scandal for us because it shows forth the humility of Jesus. In the first reading today, we heard about the majesty and the holiness of God. We hear that Abram is cast into a deep, terrifying darkness. But that's not how Jesus came to us. He came as a child. If we saw him, he would have looked no different. After the transfiguration, he goes back to looking like normal. But it shows us that this is the way God prefers to come to us, to come to us in humility. So when we look on Jesus hanging on the cross, we see no greater sign of humility. The cross continues to be a scandal because of the suffering that is involved. In the ancient world, no one would have thought of any good could possibly come from a cross. But through this scandalous, shocking death, Jesus transforms the cross. He turns it upside down. And from an instrument of death, it becomes an instrument that brings life. And finally, the cross of Jesus continues to be a scandal through those who betray their sacred calling when they walk away from the cross. I think we all realize that it has been a blistering few months for the church. Just last week, there was fresh news about the former bishop of Wheeling, Charleston, and a former auxiliary bishop of Baltimore. But the scandal of the cross reminds us that Jesus also accepts the kiss of Judas. So if Lent is going to be a road to the cross, if it's going to be a commitment on our part to travel to the cross, we are going to have to grapple with the scandal of the cross. We're going to have to grapple with the words of St. Paul in the second reading today, that many conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. We conduct ourselves as an enemy of the cross of Christ when we give in to the scandal of the cross and these temptations to turn away from it. We conduct ourselves as an enemy of the cross of Christ when we're fooled into thinking that the humility of Jesus means that he doesn't warrant our attention. That somehow the humility of Jesus leads us to treat the things of God with casual concern. We can't let humility be confused with weakness. We give in to this when we commit sins, especially mortal sins. When we go tracing after power or privilege or honor or glory, things that are lesser than God, that lead us away from the cross. We give in to the scandal of humility when we treat the things of God with casual disregard. Perhaps the obligation to attend Mass on Sunday, or how we treat the Eucharist. We see it as something so ordinary, it's no longer special. The scandal of the suffering of the cross can often lead us away from the cross. Suffering is something we naturally try to avoid. But yet God teaches us that he can bring good through circumstances that seem hopeless. That suffering can become a means of redemption. And that when we walk the road to the cross, we are bearing in some small way the sufferings of Jesus. Whether our sufferings be physical or mental or spiritual, we walk the road to the cross when we accept them. Maybe not always perfectly, but when we're willing to carry them with Jesus. And that betrayal, the scandal of betrayal, while it is so difficult, it also reminds us of the words that Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." See that just like he did for Peter, James, and John, Jesus wants to strengthen us against the scandal of the cross. He wants us to have the courage to take that road. So he will send us the strength that we need. How does he do this? Well, one of the ways he does it, I think, is through Eucharistic adoration. Adoration strengthens us against the scandal of the humility of Jesus. Just like Peter, James, and John, who gazed on the glory of God, when we gaze on the Eucharist in adoration, we look at his glory. We look at the risen Lord come there in his humility for us to pray. Next Saturday morning at 10 a.m., well, this Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we're going to be having a teaching holy hour, a chance to come and learn how to pray in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. So many people don't know how to do that or they've not experienced it. So next Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we're going to walk through how to pray in Eucharistic adoration. That teaching holy hour is open to our little ones and our not so little ones. for all of us to come to gaze on the face of the Lord. One of the other ways that we're strengthened from the scandal of the cross, I think, is through frequent confession of our sins. So often we think of suffering as being pointless. But the suffering of Jesus is how we are cleansed from our sins. So often when you go into a confessional, there'll be a crucifix hanging on the wall. It's from that blood that was shed that we are cleansed. Jesus and his death are made present on the altar in the Mass, but they're also made present in confession. When the priest absolves our sins, he is there to wash us away. So just as there was a reason for the suffering of Jesus, there's a reason for our sufferings. And confession, frequent confession, can help us to remember that. And finally, as I was reflecting on that last scandal of the cross, the scandal of the betrayal of those who have a sacred calling, this seems sometimes to be a very destructive scandal. Can derail many people from the faith. So how does God want to strengthen us from that? And I think it's through the community of the church, what we Catholics call our parish. The parish reminds us that the church is so much more than the pope or the bishops or the leaders or the priests. And it's so much greater than its individual parts. And the parish reminds us of that, that the church is greater than its individual parts. Just as Peter, James, and John come down from the mountain and go back to the group of the apostles and are strengthened, so we in our community of our parish are strengthened. We want the parish to be a place where we feel like we belong. And then when our brothers and sisters help us to stay strong in our faith. But we also have to let ourselves be known. To see the parish as something more than a place we go once a week for Mass. My friends, if we let it, the cross can be a scandal in our lives. But instead of that, Jesus shows us these glimpses of his glory, so that we can be strengthened against the scandals. I would encourage you this week that in your prayer to ask Jesus, when you are tempted to be scandalized by the cross, tempted to put the cross down and walk in the other direction, ask him to show you these glimpses of his glory, to show you the road to the cross that will bring you true happiness, true fulfillment, and every good gift that only he can give.